Can we turn again to the passage from which we were reading? That's Joshua chapter 7, and looking again at verses 11 and 12. Joshua 7, taking our text in verses 11 and 12. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own staff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. The conquest of the promised land has hit a most unexpected obstacle. A small village called Ai, seemingly presenting no great challenge, 2,000 or 3,000 of the Israelite soldiers are sent to conquer it, and they are humiliatingly defeated. Suddenly the whole tide has turned. It suddenly seems that God is not with Israel after all, that their progress in conquering the promised land will not be the easy process that they thought that it would be. We've been considering Joshua in terms of what it tells us about the Christian life. The Christian life as a warfare, as a battle. And we see that the people have hit a setback. And so it often is in the Christian warfare. There are setbacks, and sometimes serious ones. Times that we hit obstacles that we wonder how we are going to overcome. And so often the same cause is at the root of these obstacles that we face. There is sin concealed there. Just like that hidden sin concealed within the camp of Israel. These stolen goods that one man of Israel had decided to hide in the earth underneath his tent. So there can be sin hidden, concealed in the heart of the Lord's people. That will be our theme for tonight, the curse of secret sin. And we might all ask as we come to such a passage, preacher, hearer alike, does this refer to me? Does this refer to you? As we consider the reality of sin. Is there secret hidden sin that is undermining your Christian walk, that is weakening your stance, that is causing you difficulties and setbacks? Are you harbouring that secret sin within yourself like Achan of old? Let's try and examine ourselves by the word of God. And firstly then, let's come to see the secret sin committed. The secret sin committed. Verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. What's happening here in this verse? What is it that is being described? God's law had been disobeyed. Very simply, that is what had happened. The Lord had stipulated very clearly, everything in Jericho was to be destroyed. It was a city under condemnation. The Lord had seen the sin of that people, of that city, and had determined that city must be destroyed. The people must die. The walls, the houses must be demolished. No one could build there. Cursed was he that would rebuild the city of Jericho. It was to be entirely destroyed, and everything within it was also to be destroyed. The Lord's command was plain. This was a cursed city. And Israel had obeyed. They had done what the Lord had asked in destroying the accursed thing, except for one man. Except for this man, Achan, who'd fallen into a very simple temptation. very ordinary temptation. He'd seen an attractive garment, a handsome garment. He'd seen some silver, some gold. The amounts are not vast. It's a relatively modest value, the items that he stole. He saw them. He coveted them. And he committed the sin of theft. Here we see the tragedy of sin creeping in. So many who had stood faithful and yet one fell and committed sin. And I suppose each one of us, especially we who are the Lord's people, must ask ourselves, are we disobeying the Lord? I'm not asking here about what we might call the ordinary sins of life. I'm not speaking here of our day-to-day battle with sinful thoughts, with sinful temptations. That goes without saying. What I'm speaking of here is rather secret rebellion against the Lord. An act that is done in willful defiance of God's law, determining the Lord sees this, but no, I am going to do that. And I'm going to carry on and do that and conceal that sin within my heart and love it and delight in it regardless of the law of God. It is the sin of rebellion that is described, and it's a very serious, a very solemn thing to defy God. And this is what Achan had done. Ultimately, his sin was not covetousness, it was not theft, it was not failing to destroy things. It was rebellion against God. That was the root of it. And that is the root when we are harbouring secret sin in defiance of God. The result of that is very plain. We see it expressed for us in verse 11 in the words of the Lord. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing. So not only had God been disobeyed, his covenant had been broken. Now the children will remember that we keep using this word covenant. It's an important word in the interpretation of Scripture. A covenant means a promise from God to man. But a promise comes with conditions. And the requirement of the people of Israel to receive God's promised land was that they would be faithful. That was the requirement, and the people had failed. One had failed. One man's sin had resulted in all of the people enduring defeat and humiliation. One man's sin at the root of it. One man's sin, and so Israel had, in the Lord's words, transgressed my covenant. Most of you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, most of the adults at least. You have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You have professed that publicly. You've taken your stand upon the side of the Lord Jesus. You are identified in the church, before your community, as the Lord's people. Ask yourself this, is that true in my heart? Is it true inside my heart? Or is that a profession upon the outside? Achan's tent looked very similar to the tents of the rest of the people of Israel. Nothing to make anyone look at it and think, there goes the sinner. No, his sin was hidden. It was concealed. He was a hypocrite. And that is so easy to do. So easy to transgress God's covenant and then to put on the appearance of righteousness amidst the Lord's people. Oh, the folly of harbouring secret sin. And if we are denying God's word in our own heart, if we're rejecting it, if we're choosing the path of sin, then ask yourself, how can you expect any blessing to rest upon you? If you truly are breaking God's commandment, then how can you expect his everlasting favour? The word of the Lord is plain. He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Endure unto the end. That means endure. That means press on. It doesn't mean stop and just have the appearance. It means the reality of pressing on with the Christian life. God's covenant had been broken. And the result of that, of course, was very plain. God's curse was earned. This was the fearful result. The Lord, whose curse rested upon Jericho and upon all the possessions of it, was now resting upon Israel because the possessions had been taken into the camp. And so the curse of God was resting upon the army of Israel. 2,000 or 3,000 men going out to attack a little town, no problem, no bother. But the Lord turned the tide of the battle against them. And we're told that 36 men died. 36 families that would have to mourn the bitter, tragic loss of an able young fighter. The tragedy of the Lord's curse turned against his own people. We might well ask, why is there so little blessing in the Church of God today? Why are we not seeing more progress? Why is the Lord not granting more conversions? It's not an easy question to answer. There's probably many aspects to it. But we must ask ourselves, each one of us, is there an Achan within the camp? Is there sin within the heart that is turning aside the blessing of Almighty God? God grant us each one wisdom to examine ourselves and to test ourselves by the standard of Holy Scripture. Very well then, we have the secret sin committed. But let's see secondly the secret sin revealed. Verse 5. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Isn't it graphic imagery? The fear that they felt, these stout-hearted Israelite warriors, suddenly they were in terror. It was like their insides were running. They were so afraid. The judgment of God had turned against them. It wasn't Ai's military prowess that had won the battle. The judgment of God had defeated Israel. His power was at work, turning the tide of battle against his own people. It was his judgment. Israel had sinned. Israel lay under the curse. Verse 12, in the words of the Lord himself, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Let's recognize, God is in control. His power is behind everything that occurs in this life. He is active. And if his hand is turned against us, how can we prosper? If his hand is against us, let's ask, where is the sin? Where is the guilt that has earned this judgment? The judgment of the Lord defeated Israel. Then let's see the word of God condemned Israel, because we see the Lord's solemn response in verses 11 and 12. Joshua has prayed, he's appealed to God for his help. Now God's answered, and it is a solemn response. Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, and so on. The word of God condemning the sin of Israel. Sometimes prayer is not the answer, and here prayer was not the answer. The Lord was not wanting Joshua on his knees praying. That's not where he wanted. Get thee up. This was not a time for prayer. It was a time for action. The sin needed to be addressed. It needed to be sorted out. And it's very easy for us to put on a pious pretense of solemn prayers and such like, and long times of worship and of devotions. But if there's sin that is being harbored, what are such things but a pious pretense? The Lord's message to us is, get thee up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned and hath transgressed my commandment. And so therefore we see that the word of God, it identifies the sin and challenges to address it. And that is always the way. It is the scripture that guides us how we must live. It's the scripture that identifies the sin in our own hearts, and this is the only standard by which we can measure ourselves. It's not feelings, it's not emotions, it's not the words of other people or the example of other Christians. The standard we measure ourselves by is the Word of God, the Word of Holy Scripture. And where Scripture condemns sin, then let God be true and every man a liar. And here we see now the power of God at work, because the Lord himself will expose the sinner. They are going to draw lots, all of the people of Israel gathered, and they will narrow it down. So they start off by tribe. Which of the 12 tribes of Israel is responsible? Judah. Then it's a case of by family. Which of these families is it? And it is the family of Zerah. Which household is it? And we see it's the household of Zabdi. And which member of that household? Well, it is Achan, the son of Zabdi. Narrowing down, step by step, stage by stage, the Lord guiding the lot, until at last attention falls upon the guilty man. And there he is, before all the people, exposed as a sinner, revealed as the man responsible for 36 deaths and for the humiliation and distress of all the people of God. And he has to make his bitter confession about the little haul of petty stolen goods hidden in the earth underneath his tent. Oh, make no mistake, God will expose sin, sooner or later. The Lord will expose sin. He will tear off the feeble coverings by which we try to conceal our misdeeds. And oh, if it's just hypocrisy that's there, if it's just outward show, what disgrace, what humiliation at the last, to be one who's been taken for one of the people of God in this world and exposed at the last as a child of hell, as a hypocrite, as a sinner, as one who loved things, loved self, loved the world, loved the flesh more than you love the Lord. Oh, let every one of us examine ourselves that we are not found hypocrites at the last. Weren't we just singing it? Oh Lord, thou hast me searched and known. He knows. So why are you concealing it? You cannot hide it from him. So confess that sin. Lay it before him. Acknowledge it with shame. Repent of it and turn from it with disgust, with revulsion. Determined that that will not be your sin, but that you will love the Lord more, and that that sin will be left and abandoned. The secret sin then revealed. And thirdly, we come to consider the secret sin removed. The secret sin removed. Verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. See how all the benefit of his sin is gone. He thought that he would be rich. He thought that he would have a fine garment to parade himself in. He thought that he would be benefited by having this little haul of stolen goods. And instead he is exposed before the eyes of all as a vile sinner. The curse extends to him, to his family, because of course it was his tent. They knew what was there. They were complicit in his sin. It extends even to his possessions, because the curse of Jericho now rests upon him, and all that he has must be destroyed. And all of the joy that he thought he would have in his possessions, where is it now? Exploded in the shame and the disgrace of his own folly. Oh, see the deceptiveness of sin. It promises joy, doesn't it? Promises delight. And yet at the last, it bites like an adder. It stings like a serpent. It reveals its vileness in due course, in the tragedy to which sin leads. The condemnation of his sin was complete. His guilt was evident before all. He had confessed it, and that condemnation had been pronounced by the word of the Lord. Verse 25, "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." The word of God is quite sufficient. It identifies what is sin, and it challenges us to address sin and to deal with it. How do you respond? Do you confess your sin? Do you repent of it? Or do you reject the word of God, rebel against it, determined to continue in sin in defiance of God's truth? See the end here. See where sin is leading. See the path that Achan is on. The punishment of sin executed. This is where we come to at last. "And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger." Just as the Lord had commanded in verse 15, Achan had to face execution. He had committed a vile and wicked sin that had cost the lives of many people, and therefore he had committed a capital crime. He had played with fire, and now he had been burned. Oh, the shame and the disgrace of sin, and oh, the tragedy of where sin leads. Don't you see what this points us to? That this points us to a higher judgment and a more eternal judgment than what happens in this world. There is a judgment that is to come, and there is a place of punishment that is to come, which endures for all time, where the Lord's wrath is visited upon those who have continued in sin in defiance of his word. And how much the more when we know the truth, when we know the word, and when we've rebelled willfully against it in defiance of the truth that we knew. The wages of sin is death. Never imagine for a moment that sin is a light thing. And when sin is willful and is determined, it earns the solemn judgment of the Lord. What about you? Are you embracing sin and delighting in it and choosing it instead of God? What about the judgment that is to come? What about the final reckoning? Are you prepared for that day? If we are the Lord's, then we flee from sin. That's the message of Scripture. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Prove even to yourself that you are one of the Lord's people. Prove it. Show it. By turning from that secret sin, by confessing it, by rejecting it forever and leaving it before the presence of the Lord. Oh, do not be one who continues in sin. See it for what it is. See it for the folly that it is, and recognize where it leads to. The curse of secret sin. Just as we come to a close, let's offer some more encouraging thoughts. We have come to a sad end, the end of Achan. But let's see, we're not at the end of this story. Let us see that here in our midst, if there is secret sin, there is an answer for it. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has died upon the cross, and that sacrifice is sufficient. That blood is enough to pay the price. To pay the price for every sin that is laid upon him. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you look to him this night? Even if you never have before, even if you've never trusted in Jesus before, isn't this a good time, a good opportunity to come to know him as Lord, as Master, and as Saviour? Maybe you've known him many times as Lord, as Saviour. Will you not come afresh and look upon him again with eyes of faith, with eyes of love, as your own Saviour, as your Lord, whom you love so much that you will leave even your precious secret sins for the sake of his service. Oh, that we would be found at last upon the side of Jesus, that we would hear his call, and that we would dig up these hidden idols and cast them out, cast them to the moles and to the bats, and so find the purity, the cleanness of a walk with God. Oh, that we may be enabled to put such things into practice. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Let's come before him in prayer. Oh, holy and almighty God, that we would be found clear of sin, clear of temptation, clear of danger, that we would be found faithful upon the side of the Lord Jesus, and that at the last we would be recognised as his precious and chosen people. Look then upon us in love and in compassion, we pray, and see us in and through the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we commit our ways unto thee now. Bless and keep us in Christ's name. Amen.